Last couple of weeks, we have been trying to capture God's heart on the subject of worship. And there's something about capturing God's heart in worship that causes Him to react in ways that He doesn't do in any other venue. When we're fasting and praying, there's a way that God conducts Himself with us. And how many know sometimes when you're fasting and praying, it seems like God is silent. The heavens are silent. And there's a purpose for that, because He wants us to get to the end of our commitment. Then He speaks to you. How many know when you say, I'm going to fast a meal and pray, you pray and you feel like the heavens are brass. But if you can make it through that meal or two meals or 2 days or 3 days or 7 days, God says, okay, now I'll answer you. There's a power. But in worship, there's a response. The Father's heart is just pouring out with love to us, and He begins to fill us. The Holy Spirit begins to move in us, and there's an intimacy that you can't find anywhere else in a relationship with God. You just can't find it. And there's a place that God wants us to get. Thank God for the music that's on a page and the music. Man, I like music. But there's a song of the Lord that rises up within us. Sometimes we're afraid because we're not musical. We become so myopic and looking at somebody and saying, that guy's talented, and so I'm going to listen to him and he's going to worship for me. That group is going to worship for me. I'm just going to listen and raise my hands. But God wants something to come up out of us to Him so that He can respond individually to us, not just corporately. It's wonderful to feel a corporate anointing, isn't it? But when you get touched individually, that's where it's addictive and you begin to respond in that way. And so we want to focus on that. Somebody that knows a lot more about this than I do is Danny Donaldson. Danny's been involved in worship probably longer than some of you have been breathing. And so I asked him to come and share with us about the song of the Lord, about that place where music begins to take on a whole new uncreated place where we begin to sing songs we never sang before to the Lord, and He begins to respond in that way. So Danny, could you come? Welcome Danny this morning, would you?
I really feel humble being up here this morning. Usually, when I speak, I have about two or three phrases and some scripture, and I go for it. This time, it's entirely different. I've got probably 50 scriptures from a lot of people, as the pastor just said, about worship that are Eddie Espianio, Daniel Daniels, John Wimber. Some people that were pioneers as we started into worshiping in the song of the Lord back with the Vineyard Church. And so today I'm going to give a lot of scriptures. We're just going to go through scriptures and see scriptures, and we'll put a little interaction in there in the midst of it and whatever what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I don't know what He wants to do there, but in Psalms it says there's a call to worship. God calls us to worship. God created us to worship. We are created for worship. That's the reason we're created. And it's not just corporate worship here. It's worship every day of our life. Walking in His righteousness, we are able to worship. We're able to come before Him. He rent the curtain in two so that we could come before Him boldly. It's not that we don't have a fear of Him, of awe of Him. We do, because He is God. He's the one that created me. But He rent that curtain in two to give me the privilege to be able to come right before Him and to worship Him and to love on Him. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of You, Lord, and to inquire in Your temple. Pastor just said, for in the time of trouble, He'll hide me in His pavilion. I said, in the time of trouble, He'll hide me in His pavilion. That's a big one too. And it's strong. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. And He set me upon a rock. He'll set me up on a rock. Hallelujah. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies, and around about me, therefore I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. We're not always joyful, especially when the things are happening that was just mentioned. And hey, we're in the times. The enemy's throwing everything at us he can. But I can hide on the bulwark of my Lord. Hallelujah. And I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Praise you for what you're doing this morning, Lord. You're doing awesome things in our heart. You're doing awesome things on the street of this city. Let your glory fall. Let your glory fall. I will seek the face of my Lord. As I seek the face of my Lord, your glory will fall. Hallelujah. I want to see your heart, Lord. I want to see your heart. I want to feel your heart, Lord. So I come before you this morning. I seek your heart. I want to hear your word. Speak to me, Lord. One of the things in worship, pastor has said it, but he practically preached the sermon here in 5 minutes. Wow. He said God wants to respond. He made us to come before Him in worship, and He will respond. The attitude of the human heart is vital to our understanding of worship and how we enter into God's presence. As we begin to worship God, we must prepare our hearts for worship. We're going to talk some about preparing and getting there, and then we'll get into the spontaneous song and worshiping in the Spirit. But the psalmist David commanded his being to worship God. Probably at times he didn't feel like worshiping. And the times we need to worship Him is when we don't feel like it. That's the time we need to do it. And so David commanded himself to do that. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, in Psalms 103. All my innermost beings praise His holy name. So he's declaring praise here. He says, soul, you will praise the Lord. There's another verse that says, soul, praise the Lord. He tells his soul to praise God. Here he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. He's doing it another way. All my innermost being, everything that was within my innermost being, praise His holy name. Psalms 103:1. So who's David talking to? He's talking to himself. He's saying, self, you're going to praise God today. The enemy just went, and he said, self, I'm going to praise God today. I'm going to praise God. The center of life is our heart. Above all else, we need to guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life, Psalms 4:23. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. If you want to know where our heart is, listen to our mouth. And I go, ouch. But the things that come out of the mouth come out of the heart, and these make the man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Matthew 15:18-19. For where your treasure is, there is where your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. God searches our hearts. He looks at our heart. All through Scripture, we find that God is the one who searches our hearts. And He says here, I find it difficult to search my own heart. Fact of the matter is, if we do that, we usually are too soft or we're too hard on ourselves. There's not too many places that says that we are to search our own heart. We're to search our own ways. One verse we find in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 11:28, where it instructs us to examine ourselves before partaking of the Lord's Supper. We've done that many a times. We are instructed to examine our ways and not our hearts. The Lord is the one who searches our heart. The heart can be deceitful. above all things, am a Yom Kippur. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearances. Isn't that true? But the Lord looks at the hearts. 1 Samuel 17, 7. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. He knows our hearts. Acts 1, 24. God, who knows the heart, showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us in Acts 15, 8. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. We need to ask Him to search our hearts. He does that. But here it says, search me, O God. Just be open and open up to Him. It said, here I am. Search me. Know my heart. Test me. Know my thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting. So it's our job to set our hearts and to prepare our hearts for worship. David ordered the leaders of Israel. He said, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord. There's a key, major key. Seeking the Lord. We must seek the Lord. 1 Chronicles 22:19. Commendation of Jehoshaphat. There is, however, some good in you, for you have rid the land of the Asherah poles, and you have set your heart on seeking God. In other words, seeking Him. Going after Him with all that we have. 2 Chronicles 19:3. We prepare and God heals and forgives. After disobedience, Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the Lord who is good pardon everyone who sets his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of his father, even if he is not clean according to the rules of the sanctuary. Listen to that. And the Lord heard Hezekiah, and he healed the people. 2 Chronicles 30, 18 and 20. King Rehoboam, though, he sinned because he did not set his heart on seeking God, and he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. 2 Chronicles 12, 14. When thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. Psalms 27, 8. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him, and if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek after Him with all their heart. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. What do we do? Let us draw near. Remember, the curtain is rent in two. He wants a relationship with us. The whole thing is a relationship. You can't worship without a relationship. So drawing near. Let us draw near. With what? A sincere heart. With faith. Full of assurance of faith. So true worship comes from the heart. I will praise you, O Lord, with half my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. See if you're listening. You're listening. What is the word there? What do you think it would be? All my heart. All my heart. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. Before the gods. Okay, what are the gods? The gods are the things that are set up out here in this earth. The gods are the things that are going on right now. The gods are this Antichrist spirit that's all over the place. It's in our government. It's in everything. They're out there. So what does it say here? It says, I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm going to praise you, Lord. With all my heart before the gods, I'm going to sing your praise. So right in the midst of it, right in the middle of the attack, you just start singing, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are good. You bless me today. You bless me today. Lord, you are good. Your word is true. Your word is true. I'm walking in your word. Your word is true. Your word is true. I'm walking in your word. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for you are good. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for you are good. And what have you done? You've just given a big old right hook to the enemy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let a song come out of you. The spontaneous song that we sing in corporate worship is awesome, but we also need to sing the song when we're alone, when we're out in the field, when we're working. You might not be able to sing it out real loud. You might get a lot of opposition to that if you're, around a bunch of people or whatever, but you can kind of sing it soft and get away with it. Hallelujah. And everyone you can sing it out loud, do it. You know, if you can get away with it there without them kicking you out of your workplace or whatever. Hallelujah. Spontaneous song, well up out of us. And when it wells up out of us, when the enemy is attacking us, is when it does the most good, is when it will set us free. I was going to say this later, but I can remember a time, there's been a lot of times, but just what the pastor was talking about, but we were under tremendous persecution, a tremendous thing had happened, and I'm not even going to get into it at all and mention what it was, but Holly and I, we were really down, and it was tough. And I went out walking. I was walking in the woods. I remember right where I was in the woods. I was just inside the path down the hill a little ways there. And I was talking to God. And I said, God, what am I going to do? How are we going to get out of this? And I heard God say, you praise and you worship your way out. You praise and you worship. And so I did. And it changes everything. Hallelujah. 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 Make music in your heart. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19. Another one says, I will praise you, O Lord, Psalms 9:1, with all my heart, and I will tell of your wonders. Is there an end to telling of his wonders? Where could we stop telling of his wonders? We could sing all day, all night, all week, all month. Jesus says there wasn't enough books in the world to write just what he did in 3 years that he was here. Praise him. Tell of his wonders. Tell other people of his wonders. I like to do that. I just bring it in about the Lord. You know, Jesus did this, the Lord did that, and just go right on with it. But just, you know, give him the praise. Don't dwell on it. Had a guy I was fueling up. I was heading for a pull the other day and fueling up here at Gas America. And a guy come in, he saw the thing on the side of me, tractor there of Jesus coming. He said, boy, that might happen pretty quick. And I says, you know, you're right. I says, you're right. And we got to end the discussion about Jesus, and it was kind of neat. He was a rough, scruffy-looking guy, but he knew something about the Lord, and we got a chance to witness to him about the Lord. Just tell him about Jesus. Praise Jesus for what he's doing. Let gratitude fill your heart. The word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual song with gratitude in your heart to God. Next thing is a contrite and a broken heart. Where is our heart? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalms 34:18. Listen, the Lord is close. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Selah. Just think on it a little. Psalms 34:18. Some of the fruit of worship. Explore the vast results of worship. I mean, worship, there's no end to it. It is vitally important to recognize that we worship God for who He is. Because He's worthy. Not because of the benefits we receive as we work on the job. If we don't do our job for the benefits, for the medical insurance, dental benefits, but we can't be sustained by the benefits. We work because we need to work in order to live, to minister, and to serve God. So we're not working for this fruit. We're not working for the benefits. We're not worshiping for them. But they're going to be there because God will respond. Hallelujah. This holds true for worship. We worship God because we've been called to worship Him. The blessings are not the reasons for worshiping God, but that doesn't negate the fact that we receive benefits from God as we worship. We'll see some of the benefits. I'll get ahead of myself here if I take off. One of the benefits, and one of the major benefits, is the presence of God. God inhabits praise. He inhabits worship. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. Psalms 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. Yet thou art holy, O God, is another version, who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. NSA. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Zephaniah 4:3-14. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and He will quiet you with singing. Who's doing the singing there? I think He's singing there. Sing over us. Zephaniah 3:17. Hey, instruments get involved. The trumpeters and the singers join in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by the trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raise their voice in praise to the Lord and they sang. Now this phrase here, I tell you, it's all through the Old Testament. He is good, His love endures forever. Or He is good, His loving kindness is everlasting. They sang that phrase, and they sang that phrase, and we're going to use that. I won't. If I get going on that one, I'll get ahead of myself here right at the moment. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. What? When they sang, "You are good, Lord, and Your love endures forever." The temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests couldn't perform their service because of that cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. And when the priest withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled His temple. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that He would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." Where does He dwell now? Hallelujah. Right here is the temple. God is near to those who worship. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We said that a while ago. The Lord is near to all who call on Him and to all who call on Him in truth. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. Help! And call on Him in truth. John, we're going to see John, the verse in John 4:24. Several times where Jesus told the woman at the well, we worship in spirit and truth. We have to worship in spirit. It is our spirit. That's what we're going to do. The spontaneous song comes from our spirit, comes from our innermost being to Him. The Lord also will respond and sing to us in that. But we'll get that a little bit later. But what is the truth here? We call to the Lord, all who call upon Him in truth. The truth is, I need Him. The truth is, I can't do anything on my own. The truth is, God, I got to have You. It's You. So I call on You. Because I'm helpless. I'm not going to make it without You. That is truth. For this is what the High and Lofty One says, He who lives forever, where His name is, whose name is holy, I live in a high and a holy place. But, I love this, also with Him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Listen to this. God, who dwells in a high and lofty place, He's sitting at heaven right now. He's sitting on the throne. There's a rainbow all the way around Him. There's all kinds of things in worship and praise going on before the throne, and myriads and myriads and myriads of people singing to Him, "Holy, holy, holy." This is going on. This is where God dwells. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. There is no one above Him. So He is dwelling in a high and lofty place, but also with Him who is contrite and lowly in heart, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. this high and lofty God who is so awesome wants to abide in our heart if we'll just allow Him, if we'll get the flesh out of the way and have a contrite heart. Another thing that happened when worship goes on, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And he then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That story there, we're talking about being persecuted, and we're being persecuted, got all kinds of things going on. I've got the worst crops out there that was ever had in my 50-some years of farming. I mean, I don't know what all's going on, but it's attack of the enemy. So what are we going to do? What kind of song do you suppose they were singing? Farther along, we'll know more about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. Farther along. I don't think so. Now you got to realize they're in chains. They're bound in chains. They're down in the pit of the jail. It's probably damp and wet and water, and the rats are running around, and they're sitting there, and it says they sang praises unto the Lord. Guess what it was? Rather in chains and rather locked up, or maybe on the streets, I will still praise you, Lord. Whether I'm in chains or whether I'm locked up, it makes no difference. I will praise you, Lord, for you are good. Lord, you are good. You are good to me. Lord, you are good. You are good. You are good to me. Whether I'll be locked up or put in chains, I will still praise you, Lord. Whether I be locked up and in chains, I will still praise you, Lord, because you are good. You are good. You are so good to me. What do you suppose they thought? You think the demons can hang around that? God responded. What did he do? He shook. I mean, he got so excited, he shook the place. Why? Why was they even in there? Because they was following God's plan and not theirs. They were in there because there was a family that needed to be saved. Hallelujah. And they couldn't have been saved if those two guys moaned and groaned around about the condition they were in. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been so faithful to you. Now look at me here in these chains. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. It wouldn't have affected them. A spontaneous song. When you're washing the dishes, let a spontaneous song come forth. Hallelujah. When you're at work, let a spontaneous song come forth. God gives you an idea or something, and just give Him praise and thanks for that idea. Or if it's not going good, just let the song of praise come forth. Hallelujah. So that He can bring you out of it. So salvation comes from worship. These guys were faithful to praise and worship, and this whole family got saved. Deliverance. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. Psalm 32:7. There isn't one of us that hasn't been or does needs to be or whatever or some one time or another have been delivered from something that this old flesh had us bound up in. Songs of worship, songs of praise will bring deliverance. Hallelujah. Protect me from trouble. Surround me with songs of deliverance. Saul. I'm not going to go through that scripture. That's pretty long. But you know the story. When Saul needed the demons, even boy, this is a tough one. You could work on this verse a while. The demon from the Lord, the spirit from the Lord, the evil spirit from the Lord come upon Saul. I'll let you work on that one a little bit. I'm not sure I have the answer totally to that one. Okay? But these spirits come on Saul. It's because Saul's heart wasn't right, and he wasn't seeking after the Lord. And so, and he'd pulled some things, and so this spirit would come on him, and he asked for somebody to come and to play the instruments and to play some music. And they said, well, we know this kid, little kid out here, David. And so David would come, and he would play, and the spirits would go running. There is a gifting in the minstrel and just the playing of the instruments that can set spirits a-running, evil spirits a-running. Hallelujah. Prophecy will come in worship. After worship, Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire the Lord through him? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do we have to do with each other? How'd you like to be greeted like that? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Kind of rubbing it in a little bit. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, for the king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. But now bring me a harpist. And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. And you go on into the story of how they would defeat the enemy. You want direction from the Lord? Be a worshiper. He'll send a word of prophecy. He'll send you a song that will give you direction. Even Elisha, the great man of Elisha, had the double anointing of Elijah. Wanted the harpist to come and play so he could hear from the Lord. So in the presence of music, in the presence of anointed music, not the music of the devil, but of anointed music, you will hear and get instructions from the Lord. Hallelujah. David, together with the commanders of the army, set apart some of the sons of Asaph, Heman and Jeroditham, for the ministry of prophesying, accompanied by harps, lyres, and cymbals. Here is the list of the men who performed. All those men were under the supervision of their fathers for the music of the temple of the Lord. And it names all of them and names the men down through here. And along with their relatives, and they were trained and skilled in the music for the Lord. They were trained and skilled in the music for the music of the Lord. They numbered 288. 1 Chronicles 25, 1, 6, and 7. After that, you will go to Gilboa of God, there where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, harps being played before them, and they will prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them. And you will be changed into a different person once these signs are fulfilled. Do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. 1 Samuel 10, 5 and 7. Power of evangelism. Again, it mentions Paul and Silas again. Jehoshaphat bowed his face in the prison. That was an evangelistic thing that happened there. Jehoshaphat bowed his face and to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Some of the Levites and the Korathites and the Korites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Are you ashamed of God? There's times we need to stand up and give praise right before the gods of this earth, with a very loud voice. And early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa, and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out into the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endureth forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for your love endureth forever. Give thanks to you, Lord, for your love endureth forever." And as they begin to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. What a way to fight a war. Send the praisers out first. Woo! After you've heard the prophetic, after you've heard the word of the Lord. Wow. Awesome stuff. Wow. Time gets away. Worship can be a friendship, a close friendship. Somebody that's a friend forever, somebody that doesn't run, things go bad. Or husband-wife relationship. Intimacy. Surpasses all others. They experience a foretaste of joy that will be experienced during consummation of the kingdom. This communion between us and Christ is the center around which life resolves. From it pours forth power and love that we need in order to fulfill and to do the works of the kingdom. It is very clear why worship subject is under satanic attack. His goal is to destroy our intimacy with Jesus. Using every evil tactic unimaginable to ruin our relationship with the King and to bring havoc in the kingdom of God. We must be on guard, alert, and perceptive in order that we may avoid spiritual attack and recognize it quickly when it comes. It didn't take you long to recognize he was under spiritual attack, did it? Since worship is our life and we cannot take it for granted, therefore it behooves us to pray, crying out to God, and to teach us how to love him and how to protect our relationship with him. We desire more intimacy with him because so much of it has been stolen. The purpose of comparing worship with intimate friendship is to point out that what is available to us as believers. Worship as God has prescribed will only allow us to experience true intimacy. I can worship any way I want to. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you said that? Huh? Worship as God has prescribed will allow us to experience true intimacy. Intimacy has many counterfeits. Many people long for true friendship, but going just through the motions as close as they come. The result is only an image of friendship and damages a relationship more than is usually realized. Sadly, many churches today are in such a place with their expression of intimacy with God. It is dry, worked up, empty. Worst of all, the heart of God has been crushed. I don't want to be one that crushes the heart of God. As we get into worship, we get into a celebration. True worship from our hearts. The word that Debbie gave was so interesting. Because we're talking here of having our heart ready and everything, but also God has prepared the way. And what she said is so true, because a lot of times it is ourself. It's that we feel so unworthy to come before him and to worship him. But we need to be free to do that and come before him in a contrite and a broken heart. And he will receive us, and that's when he can do things and he can react to the situation in a way that will set us free and bring deliverance. We can turn into a celebrated meeting, should be response of which God has done during the week. The meeting itself is not primary reason for gathering. It's God and his works and what he has done is the reason we gather. Can you imagine the early church? There are hundreds and thousands coming to the Lord every day. And they're coming together, and I mean, there's some excitement. But you can't believe what Jesus did, what the Holy Spirit did, or I mean, with this, and it just goes on. Everybody is so full and excited at what God has done. What has happened? What has happened? Wow. As we begin to engage in worship, the Lord responds. It's His response that is just, we don't know what exactly He's going to respond to, how He does it, because He is God. But praise naturally begins to flow from the lips of the people. It is a result of being in God's presence. As He responds and as we start feeling His presence, we get more excited. It's a two-way thing, and it keeps growing. As we respond to Him, He responds to us. Praises are the expression of being with God and our response to His character. We will start responding of who He is. Oh, Jesus, we had a response. I heard it here at the altar this morning. You're my Savior. You set me free. If it wasn't for You, I'd be lost. Hell is my destination. We realize that You are my Savior. Hallelujah. You took everything that was icky inside me, and You gave me Your best, and You cloaked me with Your righteousness. He is healer. He is provider. He is protector. He is King. He is Lord. It's His righteousness that is upon us. What is He like? He's almighty. He's loving. He's kind. He's generous. He's holy. He's pure. Hallelujah. These things start coming to our mind, and we start expressing them back to Him of who He is. And after we have come engaged with God, a deeper exchange begins to occur, and we become more personal, speaking to Him tenderly and quietly and gently. Often we talk of issues which we may never share with anyone else. Meeting with our Father like this causes our hearts to pound, because we know the exchange of one of unconditional love. We start to feel the unconditional love of the Father, a love which we will never receive from anyone else. This is our bread of life, the unconditional love of the Father. During such interactions with God, healing often begins to take place. Deep hunger for true identity is fulfilled by the only person from whom you can receive it, our Father. Papa, the nearest English equivalent to the Aramaic Abba, it's Papa. As nearest we can close to it. We can say, Papa, Papa, Daddy, Daddy. He really does love us. He really accepts us as we are. It is His joy to be with us. During this time, this truth is branded upon our hearts. All comes from worship. We express intimacy through loving, intimate language. We tell God that He is special, that He is our holy God, and that we cannot do without Him. We recall the vows and covenants that we have made with Him and that He has made with us. We confess our sin. We ask for forgiveness and healing. Intimacy helps us recognize our incompleteness. And in response, we turn more to Him, asking for more help. And we lay ourselves before Him in humility. And we express our desire to serve Him and to obey His every command. This is in worship, waiting His response. He responds. When the church worships God, He visits. When people get caught up in God and relate to Him, He relates back. God's people perish for the lack of this understanding. The result is false worship, idolatry. False worship leads to false responses, prophecy out of the flesh, twisting Scripture. With no exception of God's visitation or response, the church has become like a lost and forgetful bride. Although the groom is anxiously waiting right in front of her, she has forgotten why she is there. For God to respond is only natural. Relationships are based on dynamic interaction in which both parties participate. See, that's the reason we cannot sit there and do nothing. It was mentioned earlier. I said you mentioned it earlier. The team doing it, or the worship team, or a few of the people that can sing good or whatever. We have to respond. It comes from us. Everyone needs to get involved in the worship. It will start touching you in all kinds of ways as you do that. Hallelujah. Real interaction with both parties that are participating. There was a comedian, he always said, "I was a participant." And he was talking about spectators and just sitting in the bleachers being a spectator. It won't work. We need to be a participant. Hallelujah. God is the initiator of our relationship with Him. You didn't find Him. He found us. Okay. Hallelujah. He initiated it. Thank you, Jesus. In Eden, He pursued Adam and Eve. He was the one who called Abraham. He was the one who remembered the bondage of the Israelites in Egypt. He was the one who caused us and gave us Jesus so we could know Him once again. He didn't spare His own Son for the sake of a relationship with us, Romans 8:32. It disservices Him for us to suppose that He wouldn't want to respond to us. When God responds to us, He does it in a variety of ways. Sometimes He responds in a similar manner. If we are speaking intimately with Him, He speaks intimately back with us. Sometimes He responds in a different manner. After we have dialogued in intimacy, God may change the course and give us exhortation and call us to change, or joy, call us to celebrate. On the other hand, we may come out of the extended period of celebration only to go back into intense intimacy. See, we could go back and forth and just get closer and closer and closer as we follow the Spirit and as we release our heart in intimacy with God. Often God responds in a move of the Spirit. People will fall, shake, experience mass deliverance, healing, salvation, forgiveness, anointing, and intercession. Prophecy is another common response. God will express His heart back to the assembly through the mouth of one or more worshipers. Coupled with prophecy is another common response is a message of tongues and the interpretation. At times, God will give various individual scripture readings. These texts generally carry a prophetic interpretation with them that suits the context. And oftentimes, there will be an exhortation word or an encouragement word that responds in a different manner. You know, it is so exciting to see that. You can tell and see the giftings and the callings upon a person when we get into the presence of the Lord like that and we've had an intimate worship. If you are an evangelist, you can't help the guy stand up. We got to win souls. We got to win souls. We got to get out and get souls. I mean, he'll just go nuts on souls, and that's great. That's what he's called to do. If you're called to be a prophet or the prophecy is in you, you'll want to prophesy. You want to prophesy. And if there's a gift of healing on you, you'll look all over the place and find somebody to run and slap hands on. I mean, you will. You will, because it'll bring it out of you. It'll bring it out of you. The gifts will come out. Hallelujah. As we worship and as we praise Him. Oh, and as we exhortation. You'll hear one that'll want to exhort and just be excited and have joy. And it says, people who shake and fall, people will laugh. People will come to the altar and cry. You may fall on your face. God can deal with every one of us at the same time. We all have different needs. And as we're intimately before Him, He will deal with those needs. Worship is so important. He will do that in the midst of intimate worship. He will deliver the whole bunch if we just allow Him and set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kings 3:15, Elisha played before the Lord. We mentioned that. And then Acts 16:25-30, Paul and Silas singing in the jail. We mentioned that. Happened is a worship and a way to see people set free. This phrase of worship, phase of worship commonly termed as celebration. Now this many of the models of celebration found among different churches of our day has been unattractive to us because they seem artificial and worked up. How many have been in places where it's worked up? dead as a doornail. However, in our efforts to avoid such excess, we often miss out on one of the most beautiful and fulfilling experiences available to us. To reach this stage, we must take a risk of looking and sounding foolish before God and men. As we move into such worship, there is a learning process, just as when we learn to heal or prophecy. It's a learning process. We need to keep pushing in. We need to keep pushing in. We need to keep pushing in. We need to keep following the Holy Spirit and pushing in. Hallelujah. He calls it celebrate. Let me ask you something. Holly and I was over to the jail. Where did that come from? We were over in Denver and working in a garden of the lady that got broadsided with a semi down there towards Logan here a couple months ago. And they are just a miracle of God to be here right now. I come by and saw that, and I thought, this is not good. Didn't know that it was my cousin. And so we were down there working in her garden, and about five blocks over, there were a Little League tournament going on. And as we were working there in the garden, all of a sudden you'd hear the swell of, yeah, people. They are celebrating. They're celebrating this little kid. Probably hit that ball, and it probably went past the shortstop and a little bit out in left field, and they're jumping up and down and screaming and celebrating. I could hear them four blocks. You could hear them a mile celebrating. How can we as Christians, when we realize the awesomeness and the goodness of our God, and He has just been in our midst, and we have just felt His presence, and we've just realized who He is, and realized we are who we are because He loves us, how could we not celebrate? Hallelujah! Worship can get to a celebration. People may run. People will laugh. Some may shout. Some may fall on their face, but we need to celebrate our God. He is the creator of the universe. He is our creator. He is the one who has set me free. Hallelujah. I can't contain it to myself. It's got to come out of my bones. And it comes from worship. And a spontaneous song can develop. When the spontaneous song develops as we are in this atmosphere, there is times when maybe it's just a song you're listening to. There might be a times when it's a song for you to sing along. And that's probably up to us to tell you that. But you need to participate in that when that spontaneous song comes forth. Ray Hughes was talking about the teaching of one of the moves of God. I don't know which one, early night, one down around Tennessee in that area. I didn't go back and look it up, but when it just a tremendous move of God, and they were meeting out in the fields, they were meeting everywhere. Somebody would stand up and preach. Somebody would start a song, and they were just went on and on and on. It got word all around the world what all was happening. But people started coming, and then the reporters went, and the reporters were in total awe of what was happening. Because as we went, and we said, all of a sudden a song would start, and a song would swell, and it was a song I'd never heard. And they all sang the song. And that's what was drawing people from all around the world and drawing people, because it was a supernatural thing. God was moving right in the midst of them. They didn't have the sound system. And they were all singing the same song. And then they would go off in a spontaneous song. And they would sing a spiritual song. And they would go off singing in the Spirit. And it just awed these reporters, and they wrote articles in it about the spontaneous song and about how these people all would sing the same song. How did they do that? Well, they did it by the Spirit of God. So a spontaneous song is a song that comes out of our heart. It's a song that comes out of our spirit. And we want to sing it to God. And we can sing a spontaneous song to Him, and we'll get quiet and listen. Sometimes He'll want to sing one back to us. And that same spontaneous song out of that same worship leader, out of the congregation, can come. It turns around and it becomes I Am, and the Lord starts singing back to us through our voices. And we can hear the answer, and we can hear God's heart, because He gives it back to us in a song as He sings through us. Spontaneous worship, just worshiping Him. That's where we're headed. That's what we need to do. That's what I really believe songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. But the spiritual songs is what pleases the Lord the most. Because it comes from our spirit. It comes from our heart. As we... Can you imagine? You know what your kids, when your kids sit there and just, oh, Daddy, you're so good. You know, you can't resist, can you? Celebration is an expression of the totality of the results of God's work. It is the full response of the wonder of God's hand. This surge of energy will all cry out for expression. The release during such worship is staggering as people are swept up into the awesomeness of God. It's all Him. A heart swell occurs inside and causes a flagrant, a loud, a physical exaltation of the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. During the first stages of worship, we meet God and speak how wondrous He is in every manner. And He connects with us, and He draws us close into intimacy. He responds and moves and among us and displays His power and His great love. The culmination of this exchange results in a welling up from within. Deep inside, celebration and exaltation begin to gush forth. We can't hold it in our bones anymore. People may dance. People may shout. People may sing. People may laugh or cry. And such a response springs from the realization that God has visited us, that He moved in power in our midst. He heard our cries. He is real. He is alive. It comes in the midst of that, we realize that who He is and the awesomeness of Him, and that He's right here, and He loves us, and He's moving in our midst. I can't help but get excited. Hallelujah. David's a good example of that, and I'll close with this. David tried once to do it not God's way and move in the ark, and that didn't work too good. The guy from Ohio and another guy got killed. And this time he decided to do it right. Obed-Edom, he'd been blessed and blessed and blessed because the presence of God was there in his house. Man, and you'll find out him and his family as you go down through the rest of Scripture there. Anywhere the presence of God was, they were. They were gatekeepers, doorkeepers. They'd do anything, but they got a taste of the presence of God. They wanted the presence of God. Worship brings the presence of God. David so cited that he needed to move the ark the right way, so they start doing that. And they're kind of excited that the presence of God is there. And so David starts dancing. He says, God, you are good. God, you are good. I love your presence. I love your presence. God, you are good. I can't do the Pentecostal thing. Can't dance at all. I can move, but I can't dance. God, you are good. Hey, hey, God, you are good. I love your presence. I love your presence. God, you are good. And they would sacrifice an ox, and God, you are good. God, you are good. I love your presence. I love you, Lord. God, you are good. God, you are good. God, you are good. Your mercies live forever. God, you are good. And they went for how many miles? About 6 miles. Dancing and praising God, and every 6 paces, I believe it was, sacrificing an oxen. Now, this is exaltation. It wasn't a quiet thing of just singing, open the hymn book and singing out of the hymn here. They were excited. The presence of God was there. And when we are in worship, it is our, as worship leaders, is to draw you into that presence and to bring you with us. I've been beat up several times. There's times I said, well, the people won't come. I'm just going to go, you know, and I'm just going to worship and go. Well, as I read and studied this on some of the guys that on worship, the boy, they beat me up bad. Says, no, that's not your job. Your job is to lead them into worship with you. Now, sometimes that's difficult, but that's our job. And we lead you, and when we come as a corporate body into the presence of God, a spontaneous song will come out of our hearts. And it may not be from up here. It may be from out here that you will break forth in a song. Do it. I talked earlier about the dead and the old ways of the church. You know, God is wanting a new song. He is wanting something different. He's wanting the excitement to come out of our spirit and out of our heart. Not what WFRN is playing or any songwriter has wrote. He is wanting what comes out of my spirit. Fact of the matter is, down to HOF, hadn't written any songs at that time, but had a tremendous man of God down at Kokomo. He's since went to be with the Lord. But he kept bugging Tom and I. We were the worship leaders down there, and he kept bugging us, says, "Have you been writing any songs? Have you got any songs?" And every time he'd see us, maybe a year or two later, "Have you wrote any songs?" Well, finally God started giving me some songs, and I had some songs. We started doing some songs. He says, the house of faith should have their own music. It should be your music. It should be the music that comes from your heart, the music that represents this church. He says, that's the music you need. And he would bug us and bug us and bug us. And we talk about singing new songs and singing style of songs and whatever, but this church should have our own music. Music should be coming forth out of our spirits. Some of it will be written down, but the song that comes, the supernatural song that comes, may never be sung again as we sing it. But then there is songs that needs to be written down. We need to have our own music. We need to have be a life, the life that God has given us, and a music style that God has given us coming out of the New Life Church in Rochester. Hallelujah. Why do we have to get it from everybody else? God has put music in our heart. So the spontaneous song comes when we're before the Lord and we have just laid ourselves out with a contrite heart. And we said, here we are, and we worship Him. And we worship Him. And we praise Him. And we praise Him. And we celebrate. And we celebrate. And it doesn't matter whether we're having a rough time or a good day, or whether, you know, a lot of times we get away from Him more when He has blessed us and whatever than we do when the pressure's on. But that really should have nothing to do with it. It should be our lifestyle. And I'm speaking to myself. I'm saying, self, you listen to what you're saying. Okay? Should be our lifestyle. My wife can agree with that. Because she hears this person sometimes when he's not quite doing that. And I've declared after I've looked at this, I thought, I need to be praising and worshiping and giving God the glory. I don't care what's going on. One time there was a guy riding with me in the combine, and it was really muddy. And he was riding with me, and we went down, and I said, praise God, we're stuck. And he looked at me like, what? You know? Well, I did ram around and finally got out. But that's the what needs to come from me at all the time. That needs to be our lifestyle. Spontaneous song is our heart. If our heart is right and we get a glimpse of Him, we get a glimpse of Him, it changes, don't it, Rick? And we start getting that glimpse of Him, things start coming out of our hearts. And we need to just let it go. For out of the heart is what the mouth speaks. And let that song come forth. Somebody said, well, I can't sing. You don't need to sing good. You don't need to. I listen to myself and compare to some other people. I go, oh, man, that stinks. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let the song come forth, because that song will drive the enemy away. That song will lift you up, hallelujah, and give you freedom. Glory. Time gets away. Thank you, Jesus. I just give me a break here and just go along with me a little bit. When we ask people to speak in tongues, sometimes one of the major things we say once in a while, you have to open up your mouth. You know, it won't come out if you don't open up your mouth. Now, there's a lot of you here that I know, there's a lot of you here that have been in meetings where spontaneously things break out and you know exactly what I've been talking about here. And there's some of you that haven't. This is what I want you to do. I want you to sing "Jesus, I Love You." Every one of you, I want you to sing it. And you that can harmonize, I want you to harmonize. I did this down at the HOF one time. I said, let's just sing in the spirit. And let's do a root chord, duh, the third, duh, the fifth, duh. And I had different ones sing the different notes just to get them to do it. Da, da, da. There's a three-part chord right there. Da, da, da. You can add a fifth if you want to. Or you can add a second right here if you want to. But sing, here's the root note. Sing, Jesus, I love you. 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 Now sing wherever you want. Jesus, I love you. 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 Oh, just sing to Him. Just sing to Him out of your heart. You can go up if you want to go up. Just sing to Him. You are lovely. You are lovely. You are lovely, Lord. You are holy. Sing it. Holy. Holy. You are holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy. Oh, you are good, Lord. Your loving kindness is everlasting. You are good, Lord. Your loving kindness is everlasting. You are good, Lord. Your loving kindness is everlasting. You are good, Lord. Your loving kindness is everlasting. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. I see your goodness, Lord. I see your goodness. You have blessed us. You have blessed us. You have blessed us, Lord. Lord. When you start hearing the harmony parts, man, when you start hearing the angels come and sing, that is a goal, to have the angels come and sing with us. When you start hearing that, and you, I've heard harmonics from the angels that I've never heard in the natural, and it makes your hair stand up. But that is our goal, to let a spontaneous song come out of our heart. So as we're in worship, we will be doing that more and more and more, of just singing a spontaneous song. And I want, and you each need to participate. Whether you can sing good or not, you need to participate and join in on that, and you will see the goodness of the Lord. A portal in heaven will open up, and you will see His face, and you will see Him, and He will respond, and He will touch us in response. It will be an intimate touch, an intimate response, as we allow the spontaneous song to come out of our heart. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank You for what You're about to do. We thank You for what You're doing. We thank You for the awesomeness and the breakthrough that's happening here in Rochester. Father, we want to just praise You beforehand right now on this side of the sea of what You're going to do. We thank You for the deliverance. We thank You for bringing us out of the things that the enemy is trying to do. We thank You for a healed and a healthy body in the name of Jesus. We thank You that sickness and disease has to go in Jesus' name. We thank You for songs of deliverance. Father, that as we sing songs of deliverance, that we are set free, Father God, that we're set free to walk in the power and the glory of Your Holy Spirit. And as we do that, Father, people will see Your power and glory. And Father, we know any time Your power and glory is released, Father, we know that people will do two things. They will either be drawn into it or they will run. But Father, that's their decision. And You just help us, Father, to be bold. Be bold in the song of the Lord. To be bold in our singing. To be bold into what You're doing. And to be bold in proclaiming the things of God, that You are an awesome God. Yeah, the world, the spirit of the Antichrist, we know where that comes from, is declaring that us Christians are intolerant and we are just a bunch of heathen, basically. They have turned it around just as You declared in Romans 1 that they would do in these times. times. Well, Father, we're going to stand up anyway. We're going to stand up for Jesus because we can't help but do that. He is our God. He is our healer. He is our salvation. He is our protection. Hallelujah. You're everything to us, Lord, and we need you. And so we're going to proclaim that, Lord. And as we proclaim that in word, as we proclaim that in song, Father, I just ask that you give the spirit of a spontaneous song to us, Father, as we worship in the coming weeks, Father, that we will learn to sing spontaneously out of our heart and out of our spirit to you and exalt you in a way that you can't help but just come because my kids are they're down there and they're rejoicing and they're singing to me. I want to get in their midst. And we just thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you because of that, the souls that are going to come into the kingdom. Because of that, the power that's going to go forth in mighty ways in deliverance and in setting the captive free. And we just want to give you the praise and the glory. And all of God's people said, amen. Give him a hand. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the awesome word from Danny this morning, God. And Lord, we ask the Lord that you stir that word in our hearts and our spirits, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Release us, God, to be all that you called us to be as your worshipers, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.